groundbreaking episode of Legally Judgy. I'm Alexa.
And I am Nicole.
What's up, girl?
Hey.
Bulletin board time?
Bulletin board.
Let's get right into it.
Let's do it.
We got a lot to cover today.
We do a lot.
Bulletin board. Shout out to our Patreon, which I'm sure if you've ever listened to an episode, you had no idea that we have. It is full of extras, uncut episodes, community hub stuff, behind the scenes footage, polls, Q&As, just extra more of us. We should just leave it at
more
extra.
More goodness. More
extra,
blessings.
Period.
Hashtag blessed.
That's what I'm saying. Okay. Mm-hmm. And minisodes. Just fun little tidbits of Nicole and I talking. Eventually, we want to get into a recording studio so you'll get to see our beautiful faces.
Yeah.
So if that sounds of interest.
We need more money to do that, though.
So let us know.
Go sign up for our Patreon, please.
Yeah. It's a little expensive these days.
Bitches have bills to pay.
Shout out to our new patrons. We got Lillian H. and Kate A.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Welcome
for
to the gang.
The
gang,
money
gang.
And the love.
Yep.
Hashtag gang gang. And I think that's it.
That's all we got.
We are kind of doing a new format-ish. We're just expanding, everybody, so I guess we should say that, too. We're going to cover our pop culture legal news, too, but we also just want to be able to talk about things we find interesting, things that are relevant in the week, this week. So hopefully we're covering new stuff like we did with the Oscars, Will Smith, mm-hmm. Jada, Chris Rock thing, mm-hmm. right? So this is going to be another one of those.
Brief update, Will has been banned from the Oscars for 10 years.
Yeah.
So that's what's happening there.
And he said he accepts it.
Yep.
So all right then.
Also, what's the choice?
I mean, I guess you could maybe try to appeal, but
litigate
he's it. Like, it is what it is.
Yeah.
10 years is a lot of time.
Not great for the movies he's got coming out, but
well,
should have thought about that before then.
Before the slap hashtag. Yep. Okay. Well, we could do like a little updates episode on that anytime. We should do that on our Patreon and then everybody should go pay us.
Yeah.
It starts at $3 a month. I mean, come on.
It's super affordable. It's like not even a whole coffee at Starbucks.
Not even. Not anymore.
I just bought one today. It was $5.55. You were on the phone with me while I bought it.
And it's a decaf too.
It was, yeah, see?
They should charge you less when
it's
decaf.
I really should get like half price.
That's like how I feel because I'm lactose intolerant when I order hamburgers instead of cheeseburgers and then they charge me. They charge me the same and I'm like, but I have less stuff in mine. You should charge me less the dairy.
Sure. Maybe 10 cents for a slice of cheese.
Fine. I'll take it.
Unless
whatever.
It's like Gruyere.
Okay. Fancy Gruyere. I doubt McDonald's has Gruyere.
Or Jarlsberg.
Stop being obnoxious. Anyway, if you want more of this kit and caboodle, go sign up for our Patreon because we're about to talk about
ourselves.
So patrons, can't wait to see you. Non-patrons, come join us.
Do
for
better.
The funsies. All right, patrons, thank you for joining us. Again, for any of you non-patrons who want to know what we were up to, it's honestly a great time. There's a lot more jokes and good times, unlike the topic that we have for everybody today. So again, as we mentioned at the top of the episode, we're going to be talking about some different things now. We're going to be changing it up here at Legally Judgy Headquarters. We always want to keep you all on your toes. So today, we are going to be talking about the infamous Don't Say Gay bill that was passed recently in Florida. Mm-hmm. And so, my good friend, per usual, do you want to open us up with some thoughts? Because we want to like give the kids some like background. Like what are we talking about here?
Okay.
Set the stage.
Yeah. So this started in the South.
Shocking.
Below the Mason-Dixon line, basically. Okay. Obviously the South is a problematic place. Not everybody there is problematic, but there are some problematic things.
Yeah.
And in the past couple of years, basically the South, has started to take some issues with critical race theory. Mm. And critical race theory is really just like discussing kind of the intersection of like race, society, law, history, etc. And so in Florida in particular, they were like staunchly against talking mm-hmm. about the critical race theory and or the 1619 Project, which is this book by this incredible professor. I think she's at Howard now. I can't remember. She was at Duke before, I believe. But anyways, so basically a year ago, they started to like become very concerned with these conversations occurring in school. And basically, they had this like concern that it was making white kids feel bad or mm-hmm. like guilty for what their families had done a la slavery. Mm.
Terrible. Those poor things.
Can't imagine the torture you must feel learning about history.
And when I knew you were going to talk about this, of course, I had to do my own little research because I'm a nerd.
Yeah.
And I want to add to it if you don't mind.
Go for it.
But so we're in Florida right now. We're going to focus on Florida. Governor Ron DeSantis, the asshole that he is, actually introduced a legislative proposal in December of last year, 2021, titled the Stop the Wrongs to Our Kids and Employees, in parentheses, Woke Act, to, in quotes, fight back against woke indoctrination. And it was actually passed last month. And it's like a 30-page bill that limits training for employees and lessons for students that violate any of the concepts about race and racism that is listed in the bill. And these prohibited concepts include that an individual should feel guilt or anguish because of their race or sex, that someone is inherently racist or sexist because of their race or sex, or that, in quotes, racial colored blindness is a bad thing.
First of all, okay. I think it's so problematic when people are like, I don't see color.
Oh my God.
Because you're just ignoring somebody's like entire like experience, right? In history. Right. So the fact that you're making colorblind, saying that colorblindness is a bad thing in a legislative bill is already an issue. But also, like, the reality is it's not meant to say you're racist. Yeah. Like, critical race theory is not going around telling like 5-year olds you're a little like fucking racist bigot.
Yeah.
It's just supposed to like educate us. And I think that if we start peeling away this like very substantial part of the history of America, quite frankly, then like, we're just pretending that didn't happen.
Yeah, I agree. And I mean, we're going to talk about it, but it's a good segue because it's worth noting that in Florida, right, education is set by states, right? Whatever their mandates are, it's a state by state thing. And so in Florida, you know, they're still going to teach about slavery, the Civil War, contributions of Black and Hispanic Americans. But it also requires that these lessons be taught in a way that does not violate this list of prohibited topics. And to your point, that is really the reason we have critical race theory, so that we can start talking about these things that have happened in history in a not watered down way. Mm-hmm. And to talk about the lasting impacts that those things have mm-hmm. on our society, which yep. is very prevalent, very real. And to your point, saying, oh, we're post, I hate hearing that too. Like, we're post civil rights. Civil rights happened in the 60s. And I'm like, you idiots. First of all, even if that were true, that was really recent if you think about the grand scheme of things. And it's not true. There are lasting effects that we see every single day.
Yeah.
And just to close us off here, when DeSantis actually introduced this bill back in December 2021 at a press conference, he claimed that the bill would further his administration's efforts to, in quotes, ban critical race theory and the New York Times' 1619 project in Florida schools. So he really put this into effect because of exactly what you said, everything that had been going on in the last year. So he's not happy with it.
He's not happy with anything. He's a miserable human being. But so that was a lot of context for like what we're now talking about today. So obviously there are concerns that are penetrating on both like the legal side of things with DeSantis and like the senators, and also I think families and parents, which whatever, I can't speak on parents' concerns for their kids. But so basically these issues with the critical race theory and 1619 conversations have then expanded into concerns about like objectionable books in libraries as well. Mm-hmm. So like, I'm sure many people saw Ted Cruz talking about the anti-racist baby mm-hmm. when he was, you know, interrogating, I'll call it, you know, Justice. Now, Justice.
I know. Snaps to her.
Okay. Congrats. Justice KBJ.
Congrats.
And so this has basically turned into the situation of like a bit of fragility, I would say.
A bit.
I'm trying to, you know.
There's a lot.
Pick my words delicately.
I'll say it then. There's a lot of white fragility. There's a lot of especially cis white male hetero. There's so many things. There's fragility, right? It's just, I do feel, and we've talked about this, it's like the Joe Rogans, that straight white men feel very attacked right now. Not all, but a lot of them do.
Mm-hmm.
Because I think now, finally, people are catching on that we're onto them, essentially. And you could be, and it's hard, right? I've had conversations, and I obviously won't name names, but I've had conversations with certain white straight men, some who completely own it and they do their best to understand. And I've had some where, all things considered, I would say that they're a good guy, right? Mm-hmm. I would say that they're more liberal. But when it comes to this type of stuff, they still get very sensitive, very defensive, feeling like everybody's out to get them. Mm. And I think there's a difference between being out to get them and educating them and holding them accountable and making them realize the types of things that most people of color have to endure on a day to day that white men in particular, white men don't have to worry about.
I actually think it's less that. And I think it's more that like your existence is then called into question, because then it's like, well, how did you get the jobs that you got? And I think you, like, basically tear apart people. I think people have for a long time been like, okay, I got this job because I'm qualified, even as a white man, whatever. And that could be true, right? That's not always not the case. But I think when you start to, like, look at the intersection of race and society and all of these things, you're then left being like, well, how am I here? Like, how did I get here? You basically saying that I don't deserve to be here and that, like, I'm no longer as, like, on a pedestal as I've been basically treated my entire life.
Mm.
I don't know. That's my opinion, though.
That's my opinion. Tamara Judge, shout out to you. I'm not disagreeing. I don't know if that's in contradiction to what I said. I think when I was speaking, I'm thinking more of the day-to-day, like, living your life, going about the world. Like, I remember there was a study done, and they had dressed up men, women of different colors and ethnicities and hairstyles and age, and they put them in a pilot's uniform, mm-hmm. and they took pictures of them, and then they sampled a pool of people, and they said, who do you think is actually a pilot? Mm-hmm. And most people, I don't know if this is going to shock you, chose the older white guy. Mm-hmm. Turns out he was like a janitor or something. He wasn't a pilot. Mm-hmm. And it was like the woman of color that was a pilot. I'm mm-hmm. probably misquoting that. So if somebody, I haven't looked at the study. I didn't even prep that. It's just what you said made me think that. And I think what I'm trying to touch on is I think that there's a lot of unconscious racism and prejudices and things that we have because we're socialized. Yes. So a lot of people see an older white man in a pilot's uniform. You're going to go, yeah, he's a pilot. Mm-hmm. And then you see, I don't know, let's say a short Latina lady, and you go, oh, she's a pilot, mm-hmm. you know, and it's more of, you may not question it, but you might. Mm-hmm. I don't know. It's interesting. Anyway, we've digressed. So books and libraries, I think we're at a crossroads in our political environment. I think we always have, but I think we've reached a point where now it's really bleeding into the legislature, and now we're talking about race and gender identity and sexual orientation in a way that we haven't in the past, because mm-hmm. that was just not part of the conversation. And now the new target is classroom discussions about sexual orientation and gender identity. Last month, Florida passes what they call the Parental Rights in Education Bill, or as we call it, as critics, we refer to it as the Don't Say Gay Bill. And it was largely introduced and supported by conservatives. The purported purpose of the bill was to reinforce the fundamental right of parents to make decisions regarding the upbringing and control of their children, according to the text of the bill itself. And when Governor DeSantis signed it into law, he actually said, in quotes, "We will make sure that parents can send their kids to schools to get an education, not an indoctrination." But what does it actually say? Because I feel like when I first heard about it, I thought that there was going to be, like, very clear language about, you know, don't say gay or something like that because of the name. And it's only 7 pages, and mm-hmm. it's pretty actually vague. And that's part of the problem, I think. Yeah. And there are some, like, I would say maybe 2 major points that we can probably talk about if we were trying to, like, best organize this. And mm-hmm. the first is that it prohibits lessons about sexual orientation and gender identity from K through third grade, which is interesting because I didn't know sex education and gender identity was currently being taught. I don't think it is. And I really am curious to hear your thoughts, because you actually were a preschool teacher, by the way.
Yes, I was going to say, I was a 3- and 4-year-old. So, like, we were still working on, like, bathroom skills and saying please and thank you to friends.
It's not like peeing your teachers. Pants.
Yeah, when it was very basic. I mean, listen, like, I don't know anybody, and I know a lot of teachers, obviously, from teaching. Nobody's teaching. There's no curriculum that I think people are using with kids at this age, certainly, about gender identity and sex education. I think the reality is these conversations come up in the classroom. And as a teacher, you know, you are often in a position where you have to respond to questions from kids. And so I think, you know, which we'll come back to because that's like a whole separate point. But I think they're trying to take it off of the table for that to ever become a part of the curriculum.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe they think that people are becoming too woke, to quote their last bill. Mm-hmm. And so they were like, let's just take this off the table before it ever goes on as people become more progressive. But to answer your question, I mean, first of all, I certainly was not teaching that. Mm-hmm. And I don't know any teacher that has that built into, like, an actual curriculum.
Yeah, I don't think it. I was reading, I think, one of the journals or the magazines or news outlets, whatever, in Florida. They were quick to clarify, like, sex ed is not taught in these grades, right? So
I want to say, and that makes high sense. School, middle school, maybe. I think I had sixth grade the first time.
I remember. I think we had, like, I think it was called reproductive health or something like that in fifth grade. fifth, sixth grade, I remember. Okay. But that was like, they were going to teach you about your body, right?
Yeah,
and then
yeah.
They would separate like
getting pregnant.
The girls and the boys, yeah. And they'd be like, this is what a period is.
Yeah.
Which, by the way, I think it's kind of silly if you think about it to separate us out, because it just makes it seem more taboo than it is, right? We get, oh, you're like private area. And like, oh, I think that there might be a benefit. And I don't have kids, so I don't know. And anyone who's listening who is a parent and you have some strong thoughts, DM us, send us an email, whatever. I'd be curious to hear your thoughts, because I just feel like it just makes discussion. And I'm not saying we should start this at kindergarten, but I'm just saying, like, it feels like by the time you get to fifth, sixth grade, everyone just starts giggling and we feel so uncomfortable mm-hmm. around it. I don't know what the solution is there. And we're veering off topic a little bit here, but it's just interesting that we gender and separate out boys and girls from each other when learning about each other's about your bodies, because mm-hmm. I feel like there'd be benefit to learning about each other's bodies and just all the different bodies.
Yeah, for sure.
Right?
Yeah, I agree with that.
And to me too, like, this is very vague and ambiguous. Like, what does it mean that there can't be any lessons about sexual orientation and gender identity? Like, to me, to your point, when I'm thinking about kindergarten through third grade, yeah, we're not talking about sex, but we're probably talking about like the family, and like, draw a picture of your mom and your dad. And I feel like it's very much like the nuclear family. And that's where I could see this running into trouble. And I think some critics, or some proponents, excuse me, basically said, no, if there's informal class discussions and, you know, a student wants to talk about it, that's fine.
Yeah, but then it's like, it's such a fine line though between like, okay, if a student comes in, a student has two moms, and the student's like, okay, like, I have two moms, and somebody else is like, I've got a mom and a dad, why do you have two moms?
Mm-hmm.
Then like, in theory, that would be a moment for a teacher to be like, oh, you know, people have different families because of XYZ, and families don't all look the same. And funny story, I have a book that talks about different families, because some people are raised by even grandparents or aunts and uncles, and like, obviously there's so many different definitions and styles of family,
mm-hmm.
but the way that they've broken down this bill, it's not clear that like you could even have that conversation still in that same way.
Right.
Like, you wouldn't be able to maybe break out books and like explain some of the things, because then I think they would probably view it as veering in the direction of being like in the curriculum and being taught.
Yeah, I agree. I know. I think I saw like a daughter, a parent. There were two moms of a daughter who's going to be affected by this, and they were worried about what this would mean for her mm-hmm. when it comes time to explain how her family works.
Mm-hmm.
And I think too, being obviously a queer kid growing up, I didn't see myself, like, I have a mom and a dad, right? So my parents are straight, but learning about myself and like what that means for me as a kid, I think would be cool, especially when I think about like coloring books. Because I'm like, what are you doing in kindergarten, like that young, right? You're usually like drawing yourself. And I feel like for me, what comes up is back then, it's like when we were back then, back in my day, but like girls always had the dresses and the boys had the pants and the boys had the short hair and the girls had the long hair, right? And even now, like, it's funny because I have nephews and nieces and they all think I'm a boy still. Like, up until I would say maybe 8 or 9 years old, mm-hmm. they'll realize that I'm a girl.
Yeah.
But like, my 5-year-old nephew still thinks I'm a boy. and so I'll have conversations with him about it, right? And because he'll be like, oh, he wants this. And he's referring to me.
Yeah.
And I'm like, no, she. And then he gets upset, right? He's like, no, he. And I'm like, no, she. And so I'll go back and forth, right? Because I'm a little sarcastic too. But I'm like, okay, why do you think I'm a boy? And he goes, your hair. Because I have short hair, in case anyone didn't know and you haven't seen a picture of me. I have short hair. And so I go, well, girls can have long hair. And ironically enough, he has long hair. Like,
boys can have long hair.
Oh, sorry, boys, yeah. Boys can have long hair. I said, you have long hair. And he just goes quiet, because I feel like, he's 5. Yeah, so the logic.
Putting together like the puzzle. He's like, what?
He's like, I'm stumped. He's like, I want Lego time. Yeah. And you're like, all right, cool. I'll get you on the next like 15-second break that we have together. But I've had that conversation with him now probably 3 times at least. And it's still like, it's interesting, right? Because I'm like, oh my God, what if I was a teacher, right? What if I was like a first grade teacher? And I dress in male, in quotes, male clothing.
Mm-hmm.
So, and I have short hair. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, would I be like not allowed as a teacher in Florida because of my existence? Which, it's funny because this doesn't actually talk about gender performance, right? This is sexual orientation and gender identity.
Yeah.
And I'm like, these idiots in Congress don't even realize like gender performance is also another thing. Like, I identify as a woman, but I don't perform in a stereotypical feminine way.
I feel like that's less of a concern to them, though, because their whole thing is, like, we don't want you trying to encourage our kids to be, like, you know, LGBTQ plus, or, like, to, you know, identify with another gender, I guess. I don't – it feels –
right. Yeah, like boy, girl. They want the dichotomy. Boy, girl, nuclear family. And especially in this world where we have trans folks, we have non-binary folks, right? We have a full spectrum mm-hmm. of gender non-conforming folks. Like there's a whole spectrum. And I think that it's getting too messy for the conservatives or people who aren't as woke, to use that word. And they don't like it. Mm-hmm. It's too hard to explain. They want it to be easy. Boy, girl.
I mean, I don't even think it's just a matter of it's too hard to explain. They just don't want these things to, like, exist in the world just generally. I mean, and so, like, if we don't talk about it, maybe it's not a thing.
And I have heard that, and I love when I see that, because I'm like, I grew up in a straight family. I grew up in a conservative neighborhood. I grew up where I think there was, like, maybe one lesbian, and everyone actually, unfortunately, like, she was ostracized. And otherwise, and I tried so hard to be feminine. It didn't work. Like, I was always so uncomfortable trying to pretend with my, like, tennis skirts too. That was probably not the right thing for me to do. Like, it was probably too extreme
tennis
for me.
Tennis skirts are cool. Yeah. That's
it was too much.
Extreme for anybody.
I was so preppy. I don't like tennis skirts. I was so preppy, girl. It was not a good look. I'll show you some pictures, but.
Oh, yeah. Break them out.
But anyway, okay. So let's go on. So that's K through third grade.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Less. You want to tell us about what happens after that?
Well, so for fourth graders and beyond, basically any lessons about sexual education lessons just generally have to be, in quotes, age appropriate or developmentally appropriate for students in accordance with state standards. So apparently the plan is that the state education department will determine what age appropriate and developmentally appropriate means, and they'll have to do so by June of 2023.
Sounds dangerous to me.
Very
vague. So ambiguous.
Very vague. Like, there are things that are, like, objectively age appropriate and developmentally appropriate that occurs in school, right? Like, when you do, like, a math lesson with a kindergartner, mm-hmm. you probably use, like, tiles so that they can visually see, mm-hmm. you know, numbers. Whereas with a fifth grader, like, if you don't know how to do 3 + 2, we've got some bigger conversations to have sure. without the tiles.
Sure.
But, like, this is not, like, that black and white when mm-hmm. you're talking about people's lived experiences as, like, an individual themselves or, like, their families that they're coming from. Like, how do you determine when it's right to talk about the family structure that somebody's coming out of mm-hmm. or, like, even a child? If a child's like, I don't fucking know, I feel like a boy, I'm supposed to be a boy, then you're like, nope, sorry, I hear that you're saying that, but it's not age appropriate for me to
right
discuss with you your feelings.
Or I have crushes. I remember my first crush was in kindergarten. I remember it distinctly. Her name was Brianna. Shout out to you. But I had a crush on my teacher, to be honest. So I won't shout out her name, but I still remember. I'll say Miss P. I remember her because she had long curly hair and she wore dresses. My type.
Oh, wow.
So, but I'm in kindergarten, right? And of course, my little baby brain, I'm not thinking past, I want to hold your hand and, like, share snacks. That's all I wanted to do. And I wanted to play, like whatever I played, handball. I wanted to play handball with them, right? And I wanted,
not
I remember.
Street Fighter?
Not Street Fighter at the time, because that wasn't as impressive, right? I wanted my friend to watch me win at handball.
Handball was okay.
Yeah. And that's at kindergarten, right? So I imagine, let's say baby me in kindergarten wants to tell my friend, oh, I have a crush, or she's cuter, I have a crush. Like, what does that mean then, right? It's very confusing. And it was for even me at that time. And I thought, I'm not going to tell anybody. Because even at 5 years old, I knew that was abnormal, in quotes. I knew I was unusual.
Mm-hmm.
And so I kept it to myself. Mm-hmm. But that was my earliest memory. And so I think that this bill just ostracizes the LGBTQ plus community, because it feels like we cannot be taught at an age appropriate level, whatever that means, about ourselves and our experiences and our feelings and our thoughts and our families and, like, all these other things. It's crazy to me.
But also, like, I don't really think teachers were ever trying to teach that. I think they were trying to understand, like, what their kids were talking about. Like, for example, if I were a teacher and a kid was like, oh, my mommy and daddy were fighting last night, which happens, right? Because kids have, like, no fucking filter. And they're just like, this is what happened at my house yesterday. You're like, okay.
Okay.
Good morning to you too. Uh-huh. But like, I use it as an example to say, like, if a kid came to me and said that, I wouldn't be like, oh, well, that's wrong. Like, mommy and daddy fighting is wrong. This is how you should fight. Like, this is how you do have discussions. It was more like, okay, well, how did that make you feel? Mm. Like, what did you think about it? Like, you know, what do we do instead? Like, in moments like that. And I think it really, your job is to like facilitate as a teacher, like as kids work through their own emotions. Mm. And so the way that they're painting this out to be like a curriculum thing feels very odd to me.
Yeah. And to your point, I was like thinking even at any age, I think what would have been nice is to have even the language change, right? Instead of he, she, I mean, I guess they could have they could have different pronouns mm-hmm. when you have story time, mm-hmm. when you have your coloring books, when you have pictures of girls and boys and yeah. and non-binary folks, like, oh my God, that must be groundbreaking for them, right? And like boy pictures of boys, like a coloring book of boys with a dress on or boys with long hair, right? I think that there are other inclusive ways that maybe could be entered into the curriculum. And maybe to your point, you said it at the beginning, maybe that's what these conservatives are afraid of, is that all of a sudden homework, lesson plans are just kind of naturally be more inclusive. It doesn't have to be a whole lesson plan, you know, it's not like
that's
boys
it's
wear
still
dresses.
Not curriculum. It's just like a thing that's then embedded into the content. And it's not like
exactly.
I'm teaching you that like boys should wear dresses or anything like that. It's
right.
just like we just have materials that represent
right
the diversity of like our class.
And I imagine this bill would prevent that. Like if let's say a first grade teacher came with a coloring book and it was of non-nuclear families and in quotes boys with dresses, mm-hmm. I'm sure that they would hear about it, because I'm sure a student, that would spark a conversation probably mm-hmm, in a world mm-hmm. where you're not used to seeing that kind of thing. I would imagine that would spark a conversation, and if they had parents who were in support of a bill like this, they would have an issue with it.
Yeah, well, the parents definitely, I mean that Ron himself would have an issue with that.
Okay, speaking of Ron, good segue.
Ron,
because
Ronnie Ron.
Mr. Ronnie Ron DeSantis has basically villainized anyone who opposes this bill. He says in quotes, they have to lie because if they admitted what they were really for, sexualizing kindergarteners, they know that would not fly with the public. And his press secretary tweeted out in quotes, if you're against the anti-grooming bill, you are probably a groomer, or at least you don't denounce the grooming of 4 to 8 year old children. Silence is complicity. Ooh. This is how it works, Democrats, and I didn't make the rules, end quote. And by the way, just for a quick minute, grooming equals manipulative behaviors that an abuser uses to gain access to a potential victim, coerce them to agree to the abuse, and reduce the risk of being caught. That is so different, in my opinion.
I really hate that word, because it's such a heavy word that, like, you can't use that lightly. Like, they knew what they were saying.
Oh, yeah. So that's why I think, right, it's hard when some proponents of this bill say, it's not an attack against the gay community, the LGBTQ community. We don't even say that in here. It's just general sexual orientation, general gender identity. And I'm like, well, yeah, because the heteros and the cis folks and, right,
heteros.
They're not being attacked here, right? No one's like, stop talking about the nuclear family. That's not what's happening. And also, again, we are not teaching sex education to kindergartners anywhere. And if we are, that's a problem, but it's not happening. So what are you really getting at? And there's this horrible stigma going in, and that's have gone on, that what, especially gay men, but I'm sure they feel like anybody who's gay, what, are groomers, are pedophiles, are sexual deviants, right, are all these things. And
I mean,
again,
that's like the history,
right,
of like the way America has viewed those communities, right? Like when you think back to like Harvey Milk's time, and like,
yeah,
obviously well beyond that, quite frankly, but that's how history has always painted, you know, people out to be who are in the LGBTQ community.
And it's crazy to me, because I do feel like there's a sexualization. I was about to say hypersexualization, but I don't even know if that's, maybe it's just a sexualization of LGBTQ bodies, right? Because everyone, I feel like automatically the thought, or less so now I feel this, but especially when I was coming out, and I'm sure in different areas, right? Because I live in LA, so it's generally a lot more accepting here. Not always though, but generally. And I feel like there's this automatic thought of, especially from straight people, not all straight people, but like sex, sex, sex. And I'm like, I'm so much more than who I have sex with, mm-hmm. right? I am a person, especially when I hear people say lifestyle. Like, what do you think we're doing different over here? Like, do you think that we eat on the ceiling? Do you think, like, how does my lifestyle change? Like, what I do in the bedroom, right, is frankly none of your business unless yeah. I want it to be mm-hmm. your business. Mm-hmm. But somehow I feel like the right, and by the right I mean conservatives, have this fascination with who we have sex with and our gender identity, and especially with trans folks, right? Well, unfortunately, the conversation is always curiosity. I feel like a lot of times, well, what's going on below the belt? Yeah. And it's like, who cares? Yeah, why yeah. do you care? Why does your mind go there?
Right.
And it's crazy to me how it feels like, again, LGBTQ equals just sexualization. And I feel like here, that's part of what might be going on.
And I've been trying to think, like, I've been sitting here wondering, like, what about, let's say, a book about, you know, different kinds of families equals sexualization of kindergartners? Like, mm-hmm. I think that they don't really understand what sexualization, frankly, means, because, like, nobody's, I don't even know how to put it into words because it feels like such common sense. Like, by talking about a kid who is like, I like girls or I like boys, whatever the case is, like, you're not sexualizing them. You're not being like, well, you should go kiss them. Or like,
yeah,
it's just very odd to me. Like, none of this makes sense, quite frankly.
And it's a good point you bring up, because how many times have you heard like a man or a woman even going to a little boy and be like, oh, is that your girlfriend?
All the time.
Who are your girlfriends?
That's not sexualizing though. That's just.
Yeah. And that's what I'm saying. It's like
love. Young love.
Or like even like when a boy pulls a girl's hair, oh, he just likes you, sweetie. It's like, what lessons are we teaching?
Boys are always mean to girls when they like them.
Yeah. What are we teaching here? Yep. And how are you being so hypocritical and have a double standard about what you deem is sexualization, right? Learning about me as a queer woman who might not be gender conforming, right? I'm not super feminine, had nothing to do with my sex. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Presumably there are a lot of straight women who have short hair too, a lot. Mm-hmm. So who cares? But a lot of times I feel like they care, because what? It's a slippery slope. Like, oh, first you're going to be gay and then you're going to be trans. And that, by the way, that's not how it works. But, and also, so what? Right? So what? What is wrong with that? Mm-hmm. And if we're willing to do this, are you going to start putting in anti-religion stuff in your bills, right? You can't talk about religion. Presumably you shouldn't be. But I'm just curious if this right, holier than thou, tends to be Christian majority are going to say no religion.
I mean, I think this is all just in furtherance of silencing people who are first of all already oppressed, but then second of all who some conservatives, I'm not going to say Republicans broadly, but some conservatives just like don't want to be a part of society. Mm-hmm. And so by ignoring them, it's like, hopefully we just make that conversation go away. And it's no different than like the critical race theory piece, right?
Yeah.
Or like acting like colorblindness is okay and it's a great thing. We should all be colorblind. Like, you just want to ignore the tough stuff and like hope that it just lives on the outskirts of society and that you can keep this like white picket fence picture of like what families and people look like and et cetera. Yeah.
Because gayness is contagious, by the way. I don't know if you know that. The more minutes you spend with me, the gayer you become.
Yeah.
I just want you to know that.
It feels right.
It's a scientific fact.
Okay.
I'll send you the studies.
Thank you. Please do. Okay. So the second point under the bill, or the second major point, I should say, is that parents are required to be notified of any health or support services offered to their kids in school and basically allow the parents the right to like deny these services before they start. And this would include any health and wellness questionnaires administered by the school to students, et cetera. And schools would not be allowed to keep information from parents about their child's mental, emotional, or physical well-being unless school personnel believe such disclosure would, in quotes, result in abuse, abandonment, or neglect at home. And now note, you know, they used to basically provide, it used to provide that principals would tell parents, the bill, I should say, let me clarify, the bill used to provide that principals would have to tell parents if a student, their kid, came out as being anything other than straight, in literally quotes. This part was later removed. Because I think, like,
can I even say heterosexual?
Oh, I mean, they're fucking children, straight.
Yeah, straight.
That's it.
And again, here, I feel like this creates ambiguity. Some schools and policies in place, I was reading, say that school personnel cannot out a student without their permission. So now what do you do with a bill that now says that a school is required to disclose, essentially, it feels like, their sexual orientation to their parents? Let's say if the kid goes, I don't know, maybe they have a therapist or a nurse on campus. I'm not sure the context in which this would happen, or even a teacher maybe. And maybe they talk about maybe some bullying or something like that at school. And what, now the teacher, whoever they tell, is compelled to tell the parents?
You know, it's interesting. This part I actually have less of an issue with, because I do think there's some validity to, like, parents being able to choose, like, what services their kids receive.
Mm-hmm.
Like, if maybe you feel strong, listen, I'm pro-therapy, but maybe a person feels anti-therapy and, like, they're like, we don't believe in psychotherapy, which you're probably not getting in school. So this is obviously a very extreme example, yeah. But yeah. Like, it feels like, okay, like, a parent would want to know about that. Or, like, if a nurse is, because it has, like, specified,
yeah,
I'm literally just making up all of these hypotheticals. I'm like, what else even happens in school?
I think that's the problem, because I was actually talking about this one with my wife, right? Because I knew we were going to talk about this today. And I was saying, if I'm a parent, I would want to know everything that's being administered to my child, right?
Yeah.
I want, especially medications, mm-hmm. counseling services, mm-hmm. because heaven forbid, I mean, I can't imagine this would happen, but let's say I have my kid in they wouldn't be at a Catholic school, but let's say that they were at a public school and maybe my kid was queer, let's say. And then I have a nurse who's a bigot and says like something that's homophobic. I would want to know about that. The problem is, and I think it's having this point in with the first point, where we can't talk about sexual orientation or gender identity, makes my mind go straight to, so you're going to start outing kids?
Yeah.
And if that's not the intent, then I think they should have been a lot more clear about what this means. So you, before you administer medication to a student, tell the parents.
Uh-huh.
That seems very reasonable, yeah. Right? Before any operation, surgeries, right? Hopefully schools aren't doing this,
surgery,
but like, yeah. But you know, to the extent that they wouldn't need to send them to the hospital,
yeah,
like
yeah.
That kind of stuff seems reasonable mm-hmm, to me, mm-hmm. But I'm like, but why did you have to put this in there? What was happening before at the schools? What kind of epidemic?
To your point, the original language was that you would have to out a student to their parents. And right. Then they were like, okay, that too far, apparently.
Too much.
They were like, let's scale it back to like notify them of any services that their kid gets.
Right. And that's where it feels, I think that's why this has started to be called the Don't Say Gay Bill, because it feels like it's an attack on the LGBTQ community.
Mm-hmm.
And especially with this like health and wellness questionnaire, that one's interesting to me too, because I'm like, what is this questionnaire? Like, are you asking people their sexual preferences? Like and these are students, right? These are all children. Under 18.
Mm-hmm.
So what is happening at these schools, right? In the same context as we said, why are you saying you can't teach sex to kindergartners when sex isn't being taught to kindergartners?
Mm-hmm.
So I would say, what is happening at these schools where you now need to say, hey, parents, we're going to notify you of any health and support services your kid receives?
I would dare to say that nothing was happening, and this is just like fear mongering.
Yeah.
Like, I really think that they're just proactively trying to be like, this is never going to happen in Florida, so we're putting it in legislation now.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I just imagine, I've only worked in so many schools, or like I was only a teacher for so long, but like, I just am struggling to think of like, and it feels like they should have had like real life instances. Like, they should have been like, here are things that are happening. Not that I agree with the bill.
Yeah, no,
but at
I
least
agree.
Like, you know, a lot of times when states put forward legislation, they're like, here's the reason why.
Mm-hmm.
So like, if it's like gun reform, they'll be like, well, there were this many deaths in the state and like this happened. Here's all the evidence. Here's the data. There's like no data in this bill. It's just like, here are these things that we're saying no to now. That's it. Hard stop.
Yeah.
And it feels very, I just have so many questions, and I like have been struggling with my words the entire episode, because like this just doesn't
make sense.
It just, it's all very vague.
Yeah, it is.
There doesn't seem to be any like actual reasoning behind it, other than like, let's not do the gay thing in Florida.
Yeah.
And move on. You know what I mean?
I completely agree. And it made me think that I was reading about it, and I guess a couple teachers had already started to take down rainbow flags that they had up in the classroom. They took down some rainbow stickers, which if anyone doesn't know, the rainbow sign has unfortunately become the colors of the gay community. Why you would choose all of the colors. It's
Why
kind of ugly.
Oh,
it's okay. So ugly. I just feel like we should. It's so, My wife's laughing. Thank you. It's just like a joke we have where we're like, why couldn't we have like a nice like off-white or something that we could off-white? All wear? No, I don't know. That's not one. But beige, cream. I don't know. We get all the colors. So they started taking them down because they were fearful about like what the impact is here. Some librarians, to your point, you mentioned books, started taking out books about gayness, I'll say, right? Like the LGBTQ experience. And I feel like this is also coming at a time where you have a lot of hate, especially geared toward the trans community, which mm-hmm. is extremely unfortunate. And so you're right. It's like this anti-wokeness, and it's like woke in this case to them is like basic rights to me. You know, mm-hmm. they consider like, you want to talk about race? Oh, how dare you? Mm-hmm. It's anti-white. You want to talk about gayness or transness? Oh my God, it's anti-hetero, it's anti-cis. And I'm like, no, why can't we just all coexist? It's and like our very existence is like an attack on them.
And that was a point that I was trying to make earlier, maybe not so eloquently, is I think when you have to acknowledge all of the other people in society who like maybe you don't agree with, for lack of better terms, or like find validity in their experience, and you have to then like recognize them and hear about their experience and their struggles they've gone through, I think it makes people feel like weak and insecure about themselves. And so then like they're like, okay, well, what about me? And it's like, can we both be here at the same time? Like, can we both have our experiences? Or like, does my experience mean that your experience is like less than? I don't think that's the case.
I don't think it should be, but perhaps I think that this is the struggle, is that it hasn't been equal. It hasn't been. And so what's happening now is for us to get equality, that means they're going to have to give up a lot of privileges and things that they've been used to. And so for them, it feels like stepping down. And for us, it feels like stepping to just the start line.
Barely stepping at that. So like, sure, I guess.
Yeah. And I think that's the hardest thing for them to realize is like, here's the start line. I started 100 feet back. And who knows, right? You could have a bunch of different intersecting identities that put you 500 feet back, 50 feet back, 1 foot back, whatever it is, right? And then you have a bunch of people who are starting 5,000 feet ahead, mm-hmm. 500 feet ahead, right? And mm-hmm. so I think for them, coming back 500 feet is going to feel like, wow, I'm 1,000 feet below. And mm-hmm. you're like, guy, you haven't even scratched the surface of the shit that I've been dealing with.
Yeah.
Thank you very much.
Yeah.
And the other important thing to note here, and the reason why I also mentioned the rainbows and the library books coming out, is because this bill also gives parents the right to sue school districts if they don't follow these rules, which wasn't the case before. So that means schools, especially poorly funded schools, which let's be real, tend to be POC schools, right? Where we have a lot of black and brown students mm-hmm. are probably going to be there, who, God forbid, we have a queer brown or black person there who's being bullied or whatever, probably could benefit from a lot of this more inclusive environment, mm-hmm. Is going to be at a school where I'm sure teachers and personnel are going to be even more hesitant to tread this line of like what's acceptable or not, because heaven forbid somebody sues over it. And I bet it would be some like lady who like is this rich white lady.
Definitely
who doesn't
a
even
Karen.
Yeah, doesn't even go to that school, but like heard.
Doesn't go right? to that school, yeah.
She doesn't even go here. Just like drove by and like heard someone be like, it's okay to be gay. And she's like, and then she like sues, right? Like that's what I imagine happening. It's really upsetting.
It kind of just creates like chaos and pandemonium. Like there's just no checks and balances if you can just have like parents suing schools for like conversations that could have happened in passing, or like a book that basically could have been in the library. Like, except
yeah,
it's the wild fucking West in the South.
It is. And other states, unfortunately, which we'll talk about. Yeah. I mean, this bill was signed by DeSantis. It's going to go into effect July 1st. So
happy birthday to me.
Oh yeah, it is your birthday. We'll celebrate with some blackness and queerness. How about that? We'll just be very out and proud.
Okay. Let's do it.
Let's do it. And unfortunately, other states are on target to adopt very similar bills. You want to tell us about them?
Yeah. So in Kansas, they have a bill on the docket that would make it a misdemeanor for teachers to use materials depicting homosexuality. In Tennessee, they've got a bill that would prohibit schools from using books or materials that mention, in quotes, gay, bisexual, transgender issues, or lifestyles.
Lifestyles,
to your point.
My favorite.
In Indiana, they have a bill that would prohibit teachers from discussing sexual orientation, gender identity, or transgenderism without parental consent. Is that a word?
We're adding the isms, huh?
I didn't. When I read that, I was like, ooh, that feels gross.
It's similar to, but not equal to, homoism, I believe is the word.
You just made that up.
Of course I did.
Okay. Ohio, they just introduced a new bill that would prohibit teaching young students about sexual orientation or gender identity. In Texas, they plan on basically copying and pasting the Don't Say Gay bill. The attorney general and governor have basically already called on parents who give transgender kids gender-affirming care to be subject to child abuse investigations.
Yeah.
And just today, we heard about...
Yeah. Yeah.
What the little biatch in Alabama who's trying to roll something similar out. I don't think we've got much detail, but, you know, I think the gist is all don't talk about gay things.
Here's the headline. Alabama Governor Kay Ivey signs multiple anti-transgender bills into law, including banning doctors from administering hormones to minors and forcing trans youth to use bathrooms of their birth sex. So we got that going on. Mm-hmm. Alabama. Mm-hmm. Coming in strong. I mean... People are just so offended by mere existences. It's insane. I'm like, why don't you have more going on in your fucking life? Mm-hmm. Like, why are you so worried about what's happening over here? Because you don't need to be involved. You don't even have to watch. You don't have to look. Like, mind your business. Mm-hmm. Obviously, mm-hmm. I'm being ridiculous about it, but it's true. We're not doing anything. Like, just our mere existence, right? Just agitates people so much. They can't even stand the fact that we are alive is how it feels.
Remember that bill? Ooh, what was that called? The Army one.
The Don't Ask, Don't Tell?
Don't Ask, Don't Tell. It's basically like we're just moving. Yeah. We're moving to like a statewide Don't Ask, Don't Tell. It's like, I don't need to know. We're not going to talk about it. You do your thing behind closed doors. That's it.
Yeah, exactly. Yep. I actually had that in my notes and I never got to say it. So good job.
Thank you. Same page.
Besties. Yeah, as always. Okay, so some legal stuff. There are obviously some constitutional issues here.
I'm exhausted.
First Amendment rights. Teachers. We talk about First Amendment, free speech, right? But teachers, public school teachers, have limited First Amendment rights as school districts make decisions on the curriculum. And as we talked about, states determine that curriculum. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. So it's not like a teacher can just go rogue. I mean, they could try, but especially in Florida now, they will get sued, unfortunately.
But there's this breakdown, right? Because one part of the bill was like, you can't have in your curriculum lessons about, you know, sexual orientation and gender identity for K-3. Mm-hmm. But then it was also like, you can't encourage conversations about these things. Mm-hmm. And so having a conversation is not curriculum.
Yeah.
So like I think there's a fuzzy area here with the First Amendment and like what issues teachers could possibly bring for First Amendment violations.
I feel like this is just going to be ripe for lawsuits. And there's several lawsuits have already been filed, but I think we're going to keep seeing that. And that's what's going to scope out what this exactly means. Because let's say a student brings up a conversation versus a teacher. What does that mean? Informally, right? Because also they said, oh, it doesn't count if it's like lunchroom talk or in extracurriculars. And you're like, what? What does that even mean? Like, no one knows what this means. Like, are you kidding me right now?
That's why it's 7 pages. Most bills are like, what, 100?
A million. Too long to count.
They were like, here's an outline.
Yeah, exactly. So this is, I feel like they're going to keep getting sued, especially when it comes to the fourth graders and beyond, right? Because that's even, if you can believe it, more ambiguous because it's like, what is age appropriate? Also, 10-year-olds, all 10-year-olds are not alike. You're going to have more mature 10-year-olds. You're going to have less mature 10-year-olds. Human beings in general are so different. And again, it feels like they're just trying to fit people into these pretty little boxes. Mm-hmm. So everything can just be easily distilled, right? And then we just have a boys' bathroom and a girls' bathroom. And it's like, sorry, guys. It's not that simple. It never was. You just forced that onto everybody.
Yeah.
So now you get to wake up and stop being dicks, I hope. I don't know.
Probably not. Probably not. I wouldn't hold your breath for Ron.
I hate that guy.
And what is his lady's name? Kay Ivey?
Kay, yeah. I already forgot it.
Good. Fuck her.
Yeah.
Other, you know, constitutional issues. So civil rights law is obviously a thing that exists in this country. Not often.
Are we allowed to say that? Civil rights?
Yeah, I don't know. Is that race theory?
Are we allowed to say that?
Probably under the critical race theory somewhere. But so basically the Department of Education has made it clear that all schools receiving federal funding must follow civil rights law, which includes Title IX protections, which basically prohibits discrimination based on sexual orientation and gender identity. Feels like we've got some like red flags here violating discrimination of that sort.
Interesting. Interesting. That's probably why they made it so ambiguous, though, is so that they can say, we're not discriminating. Look, it doesn't say just gay people. We never said gay in the bill. We never said lesbian. We never said bisexual, transgender. We never said gender nonconforming, right? They probably don't even know all those words. But we never said that. And I think that's why it's so ambiguous, right? It's just general. This would apply to heterosexuals too. This would apply to, or straights, since they don't even know heterosexuals. This would apply to straights too.
Yeah.
And we're like, so what are you afraid of then?
Yeah.
Right? They're trying to be sneaky, and it's really stupid.
Okay.
Go on.
That's all I've got on the constitutional issues.
Oh. Well, I mean, maybe this is a good way. This is a good part to put this part in, because unsurprisingly, LGBTQ rights groups have already sued DeSantis over the bill. In particular, Equality Florida and Family Equality alleges that the law violates the constitutionally protected rights of free speech, equal protection, and due process of students and families. And a couple excerpts that I thought were really good from the lawsuit, I just want to read out and I'll be done with this. But in quotes, this effort to control young minds through state censorship and to demean LGBTQ lives by denying their reality is a grave abuse of power. The law deliberately employs broad terms and invites arbitrary and discriminatory enforcement, empowering parents to be roving censors who can sue school boards for damages based on any perceived violation. So essentially now, it just gives parents ammunition to be extremely litigious, and for schools and teachers who are already probably very underfunded to fear, right? Mm-hmm. They're basically backing them into a corner. And maybe you could have very woke, liberal teachers and personnel, but you know your budget can't afford a big, hefty lawsuit.
Yeah.
So you're scaring people into submission. You're scaring people into believing what you think is right.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the craziest thing, is they think that this is some objective standard. It's not. This is this is completely subjective of them.
Mm-hmm.
But hey, protect the kids.
Wow. Okay.
Hashtag. All
right, Putin. I am just so troubled. I'm having like a very difficult time kind of discussing like the I mean, obviously this is so problematic, but I think like legally this creates such a fucking slippery slope for this state, for other states, for schools, for teachers, for children, quite frankly. Like, this is, I don't know, to be honest with you. This is not my most eloquent one.
No, I mean, it's heavy stuff. We wanted to talk about it because we feel like it's important, and we want to make sure that people know what's going on. But I think we're at a crossroads in history. I mean, we tend to be, right? But I feel like these next few years, I mean, already, right, the last few years with especially the Trump administration, I think that a lot of folks feel very emboldened to be more vocal about their prejudices, their racism, their homophobia, because again, to your point, they're feeling like they're losing control. And that's because they are. Mm-hmm. I feel like they're getting desperate, and this is what is happening. And so we're going to have to, us being the, not even just the, I want to say that not all people on the right feel this way. I'm going to say the ultra conservatives. Mm-hmm. I hope so.
Yeah.
I really hope so. I hope that's the case. Fight back. And that's how we do it. We do it through the courts. We sue. And
through voting.
And through voting.
Like, please get fucking Ron DeSantis out of office. The fact that he's been around for this long, or like Abbott.
Yeah.
He's obviously doing the same thing in Texas. Like, there are ways that we change these things and keep them from happening.
And that's the only way to do it, unfortunately. It's going to be a slow process.
Mm-hmm.
But I think that it will, I hope it will, and I want to say I think it will progress, and we'll get past this. And it's going to start, too, by the way, with businesses, right? To the extent that, let's say, Disney, which came under fire, or the CEO, right, because he didn't properly criticize initially this bill. Say they pulled out of Orlando.
Mm-hmm.
Say TV shows and films stopped shooting in Florida, right? You protest a state by not giving them money. And it sucks, because there's going to be victims in the interim, right?
Yeah.
Because the state is going to depend on those dollars, the tax money, to fund schools, to fund roads, to do all these things. But what other choice do you have? It's really, really unfortunate.
I mean, Delta does it every time. Fucking Georgia is showing its ass. They're like, we're gonna pull out, and they're like, never mind, no never mind, we'll take that out of the way, like, we'll take that bill off the table,
right?
But yeah, I mean, I agree. Like, I think besides voting and besides, you know, suing for these things, it's really a matter of like speaking up out and against them. I mean, that's not, you know, it's not gonna save the day, but it's something.
Yeah. Yep. All right, well, I'm sorry, judges, that we had a heavy topic today, but it's an important one to discuss. And so we will be back to you all next week with some more groundbreaking stuff. In the interim, we have a Q&A. We were asked, what is your favorite cocktail?
An extra dirty martini with Kettle One.
Oh. Oh, really? Even over a margarita?
I mean, I do love a margarita, but like a martini, just like it hits. It just like at this different spot that you just can't. always get to with a margarita.
Good for you.
What's your favorite drink? Your favorite cocktail, you boozy?
A margarita. A skinny, dirty, skinny, spicy margarita.
Yeah, you my do bad. Love your skinny and spicy.
Well, you actually made me think of the spicy part because I was like, I shouldn't because, you know, my tum-tum.
You got a weak tummy.
My tum-tum can't take it. And then you got one and then I was like, that looks good. And then I had one and it was delicious. So I'll pick and choose. But the skinny marg is my thing. And don't put soda in it. I hate when people put club soda in it.
Versus what?
Lime juice and...
Oh, okay. Actually, okay, fine.
I don't know what else. I don't know.
There's always like a fizzy drink in it, though.
Not always. Not in the ones that I've liked more, I should say.
Yeah, I guess you're right.
I've gotten used to.
But there has to be like another liquid in it. It's not all tequila and lime juice. Like, think about how bitter that would be.
It would like burn through my stomach lining. Yeah, I know. I have to look up like what do they use?
Club soda, maybe? No.
Water?
Not water.
Ice? Do they let it melt?
No.
I don't know. Someone tell us. Yeah. I have no idea. Okay. Well, thank you for asking that, Mr. Patron. I think it's time for us to move into our exclusive Patreon-only content, my friend. Hi, everybody. If you want to hear about some fun Q&As between yours truly and Nicole, please go sign up for our Patreon. We have some fun stuff. Otherwise, go tell your friends about us. Go leave us a 5-star rating and drop us a review on Apple Podcasts. We will be forever grateful. And until then, till the next episode. Thanks for tuning in to today's episode of Legally Judgy. We hope you enjoyed listening to us talk as much as we love the sound of our own voices.
If you did, please subscribe, rate, and leave us a review. Also, join us on our Patreon for more judgy shits and giggles. Until next time.
Bye.